Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace via Facebook Live. Let me share a number of announcements with you before we get started. First of all, there's two ways that you can listen to us. First of all, you can hear us on Facebook Live or watch us on Facebook Live at Cog Family Community. The other way that you can hear us is go to our webpage at www.icgrace.org and go to our webpage there and go to the media page, and you can listen to the sermons, you can listen to the Bible study, and you can also listen to a worship set that we put out there every week. So you can have the full, or most of the full worship experience in your own home. And we've done that to provide that for you. We also have posted questions out there. We have questions out there from the Bible study, and there's questions that have been posted out there from the message, which I'll read at the end of the message, that are on our church email list, our COG list, our COG list. And so if you're not on our COG list and you want to get on the COG list, you can go to COG list at coglist.org and you can go get onto it from that. Let me mention that today we are going to do Lord's Supper at the end of the message. And so after I do the message and I read the questions, we'll go into the Lord's Supper. So you've got several minutes here to get your juice and whatever you're using for bread together so that you have it ready for when we go into that at the end of the message. Also, in addition to, let me just mention something about giving today, but this will be a little bit different. Since this is the last Sunday of the year, the last Sunday of 2020, that if you want to get tax credit for your giving this week, you have until tomorrow, December 28th, to bring it to us at the office if you want to give it in person. If you're going to mail it in, it needs to be postmarked no later than December 31st. And of course, on the website, there is a place where you can contribute through the website, and you've got till December 31st to do that. So if you want to get tax credit for 2020, so I just wanted to give you that information. Also, if you want to host our recording here, our broadcasting, you can give us a call at 783-8062, and we can talk to you about doing this from your home. All we need from you is good cellular reception. So if you have good cellular reception, we can do it at your place. So just if you want to host this, just let us know. So with that, let me open us up in prayer, and we'll get into the message here. So Father, I just thank you for our time this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to get into your word and pull out the things that are in there, Lord, to speak to us today and in our situations. Father, I pray that as we're going through things, I pray that you would just impact our minds with how this relates to each of us personally, you know, in our situations and what's going on in our lives, Father. Just come and speak to us. Have your way. And I just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to do something a little bit different in starting out today. One of the things that I usually don't do is, you know, there are a lot of speakers that tell a joke before they get into the message, and it's a good way to lead into something. But my sister sent me a joke, and I really thought it was funny, so I thought, hey, I'm gonna share it. So here's this joke, and if you don't like it, blame my sister, okay? But it's about a man calls to order a pizza. And he calls and he gets an answer. He says, "Is this Gordon's Pizza?" And the voice on the other end says, "No, sir, it's Google Pizza." And the caller says, "I must have dialed the wrong number. Sorry." And Google says, "No, sir, Google bought Gordon's Pizza last month." And the caller says, "Okay, I'd like to order a pizza." And Google says, "Do you want your usual, sir?" And the caller says, "My usual? You know me?" And Google says, "Well, according to our caller ID data sheet, the last 12 times you called, you ordered an extra large pizza with three cheeses, sausage, pepperoni, mushrooms, and meatballs on a thick crust." And the caller said, "Okay, that's what I want." And then Google said, "May I suggest that this time you order a pizza with ricotta, arugula, sun-dried tomatoes, and olives on a whole wheat gluten-thin crust." And the caller said, "What? I detest vegetables." And Google said, "Your cholesterol is not good, sir." And the caller said, "How the heck do you know?" And Google said, "Well, we cross-referenced your home phone number with your medical records. We have the results of your blood test for the last 7 years." The caller said, "Okay, but I do not want your rotten vegetable pizza. I already take medication for my cholesterol." And Google said, "Excuse me, sir, but you've not taken your medication regularly. According to our database, you purchased only a box of 30 cholesterol tablets once at Drug Rx Network 4 months ago." And the caller said, I bought more from another drugstore." And Google said, "That doesn't show on your credit card statement." And then the caller said, "I paid in cash." And Google said, "But you didn't withdraw enough cash according to your bank statement." Then the caller said, I have another source of cash." And Google said, "That doesn't show on your last tax return unless you bought them using an undeclared income source, which is against the law." And the caller said, "What the heck?" And Google said, "I'm sorry, sir. We use such information only with the sole intention of helping you." And the caller said, "Enough already. I'm sick to death of Google, Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, and all the others. I'm going to an island without internet, cable TV, where there's no cell phone service and no one to watch me or spy on me." And Google said, "I understand, sir, but you need to renew your passport first. It expired 6 weeks ago." What that has to do with the message, it doesn't have anything to do with it, but I thought it'd be fun. So, anyway. As I stated last week, that this Christmas is like any that we have had. We normally have the battle to keep the focus on the meaning of Christmas amidst all the commercialization of the season. But this year, the unrest in the government and the issues of COVID-19 have really changed the Christmas landscape. I think that now, more than ever, it is vitally important to focus on Jesus and His coming to earth 2,000 years ago as God's gift to us. That God did this to save us from our sins, which had created a barrier between us and God, and to be an example through Jesus' own life here on how we are to live. And as I said last week, Christmas has always been a mix of a wonderful time of year for some and a disaster for others. And so we began to look last week at the real story of Christmas. And the reason for this was to encourage us, because like us now, it wasn't easy for them back then either. But God was working in their situation back then, just like He is working in our situation now. And so, it wasn't an easy time then for the nation of Israel. They were under Roman occupation. And the Jews had been waiting for the Messiah to come for hundreds of years. And the hope was that when He did, He would liberate Israel from being under the domination of Rome. And so they were expecting a military leader. They were expecting a defender for Israel. And He would. But He would liberate them from their sin and their bondage. And He would defend them against the devil and show them how to live with one another and how to live with God. Jesus was born miraculously to a couple named Mary and Joseph, and these were people of high character. Jesus' birth presented a challenge for them because God miraculously impregnated Mary by way of the Holy Spirit while the couple were still engaged or betrothed. It was like marriage, but they weren't living together. And so this created a problem for Mary because although she was faithful and true to her husband-to-be, this pregnancy made it appear that she had been unfaithful and therefore guilty of adultery, which at that time was punishable by death by stoning. And for Joseph, it created and raised the question of, would he still marry someone of such who had been under such suspicion? And they both loved one another. And God had spoken to both of them, and so they went forward with their plans for a life together because they also were obedient and sold out to God. And so God not only brought encouragement to them through Him speaking to them through dreams and through angels, but also through Mary's cousin Elizabeth, who was also miraculously pregnant, even though she was unable to have children. And here again, this was all made possible by a miracle of God. And her child, who we would know as John the Baptist, would be the forerunner for Mary's child, Jesus, and his ministry. And when we saw that God orchestrated events to see to it that all the prophecies about the child were fulfilled. Joseph was of the line of David, as the Messiah was to be. But Joseph was from Nazareth, a city and a people who were despised. But at the time of Mary's pregnancy, Rome issues a tax that requires everyone to return to the land of their birth. And this causes Joseph to go to Bethlehem with his pregnant wife to be. And we see here how God uses events to fulfill his plans that had already been declared years ago. And while they were in Bethlehem, Mary gave birth in humble surroundings. Jesus is born in a feeding trough for animals, because they couldn't find lodging in Bethlehem at that time. Now, and that probably could have been because of the taxation and so many people traveling maybe into Bethlehem that there were no more rooms available. But here again, in these humble and even discouraging conditions, God blesses and God encourages by also blessing lowly shepherds who were also a people that were despised because of their inability to fulfill ceremonial laws and because of their occupation. They were told about Mary and Joseph and told to go and to see him. And they were told this by this incredible sight that they saw, that in the sky they were witness to 100,000 angels. They were declaring the birth of Jesus to Mary and Joseph. And so here again, you know, God encourages in the midst of struggle and encourages in the midst of hardship. You know, God blesses these lowly people, these people of humble beginnings, these people that were despised. And he reveals things to them, great things to them, and not to kings and rulers. But it was revealed to wise men also from the east who come sometime later to honor Jesus. They come to Herod looking for the Messiah. And this threw both Herod and the Jews into a place of uncomfortability, because Gentiles knew of the coming of the Messiah, but they didn't know all the things that the wise men knew. They didn't know that he had already come. And so this upset the king and this upset the Jews, that Gentiles knew about this, but they didn't. And this was especially troubling because the king was the kind of person who had his own sons killed and even one of his wives to keep his throne secure. And now wise men from the east come with treasures to honor not only another king, but to honor this Messiah who was prophesied to liberate the Jews. And so Herod lies to the wise men and tells them to go and search for this child so that he too could worship him. And the wise men go, when they do indeed find Jesus, and they present their gifts to him and worship him. And this brings us to where we pick up the story today from last week. So, in Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 12, it says, "And after being warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi, or the wise men, left for their own country by another way. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod. This happened so that what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" And that's from the book of Hosea. "Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent men and killed all the boys who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity, who were 2 years old or under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled." And this is from Jeremiah 31. It says, "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more." And so this is a prophecy that is talking about the killing of all the children. So the problem here is when God thwarts the king's plans to find and kill Jesus, he's enraged. And so to ensure the security of his throne, he kills all the male children in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger. And again, this is the man who killed his family to retain his throne. But again, by the time that the wise men find Jesus, he's around 2 years old. And the shepherds coming, when the shepherds came, they came quite some time before when Jesus was still in a feeding trough. So, as I said last week, you know, those pictures that you see of the wise men and the shepherds all together at the same time is not accurate. Now, the blessing in all of this is that the wise men, Herod and the Jews, were looking for a prince. They were looking for a king, and they weren't looking for a child in a trough, or they weren't looking for a child in a common home. No one but the shepherds and the wise men knew where Jesus was. And so even though they knew what city Jesus was in, they never suspected the Messiah to be where he was. But in addition to that, God warned the wise men not to go back to Herod. And so they went another way to where they came from so that Herod couldn't find them and find out from them where Jesus was. But again, God also speaks to Joseph in a dream to take his family and go to Egypt where they would all be safe from Herod. And we see here that God is telling Joseph what Herod is going to do. So he's warning Joseph before Herod kills the children what Herod is going to do. So he warns him ahead of time. So the thing from this, is that God knows the thoughts and the hearts of men. And God makes a way of escape for his people. And this is an encouragement for our time now. With all the unrest that we have in our world right now, with our fears of what's going to happen, God knows the thoughts and the hearts of men. And God will make a way. Just like he did back then, God will make a way now. And so we need to be encouraged with this. Now, let's talk about Egypt for a minute. Throughout history, throughout Jewish history, Egypt has been a place of refuge in their history. People went there to escape things. For example, when there was a famine, and if you read through Scripture, God's people endured a lot of famines over the years, and a lot of times they went to Egypt to escape the famine. But we see here in the case of Jesus' story here, it was also a place to go to run from man in the case of Herod. Psalm 68, verse 20 says, God is to us a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong ways of escape from death. So God will always make a way of escape for his people. You know, in the situations that we face, and even in our personal battles, God will make a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has been overcome you except something common to mankind. And God is faithful, and so he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Now, the good thing with this is that God gives Joseph in a dream, a plan of escape. And Mary and Joseph stepped out with God in this whole thing with Jesus. They really stepped out with God, and God took care of them. And when we step out with God, God will take care of us. But notice that with this 1 Corinthians 10:13 passage, he doesn't stop the temptation. He just provides a way out before it gets to be too much. Jesus was born into risk. Jesus was born into danger. But he was protected in it. But that danger was still out there. And when it got to the point to where it would find him, then God provides a way of escape. See, we're not promised a problem-free life. But God will make a way in it. Facing the trials with God grows us in our relationship with him. It grows our faith and our trust and our confidence in him as we see him work in our situations. God showing up in our situations and providing a place for God to show himself, to show his glory, to show his manifested presence, to show himself when he shows up in our situation, to show his power. When we see his power manifested in our situations, it shows us who is God and who is not God. And as we go through these situations with Him, we get to be in it with God. It's something we're in it with Him and experiencing things with Him. We get to see Him come through in our situations. And what this does is it provides an encouraging testimony for us to share with others of how God came through in our situation that we were in. And that encourages us. And as we share that story with other people, it encourages them. Now, Egypt had a number of large cities. They had Thebes, Memphis, Alexandria, Heliopolis. You know, every large city in Egypt had a large pocket of Jewish refugees in it. And Alexandria alone had over 1 million. And so God has Mary and Joseph go there to where they could more easily settle down. They could make friends there. They could get lost in the crowd, basically. And Herod would never find them there. But not only that, probably also because he was probably focusing just on Bethlehem. But it was thought that Jesus was in Egypt for 6 to 7 years. And coming out of Egypt was also prophesied in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. So going back to Matthew, beginning with verse 19 of chapter 2, it says, "And when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there." So again, God speaks to Joseph in a dream after Herod's death. Now, Herod Archelaus was made governor with the promise to be made king if he proved himself a leader. Archelaus was responsible for much bloodshed in putting down Jewish revolts. And it says in verse 22 of Matthew 2 that Joseph was afraid to go to Judea and goes to Nazareth with Jesus instead. Now, Herod's other sons, Antipas and Philip, were governors, and they were over other small territories, and they complained to Rome about Archelaus' methods. And eventually Archelaus was stripped of his position and banished. It says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 22, "Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and settled in a city called Nazareth. And this happened so that what was spoken through the prophets would be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene." And that's from Isaiah 11, chapter 1. So, wow, we see here again, Joseph is talked to by God through yet another dream. You know, Joseph has had several dreams through this whole thing. Now the good thing here again is that God guides Joseph on where to go. He guides him step by step through this thing. And Joseph obeys. And here's the thing. If we will listen, if we will obey, then God will bless. It doesn't mean that we will not have problems. But God will help us navigate them if we will obey Him. Throughout this story, Mary and Joseph were obedient, and this is why they were entrusted with Jesus. And they would instill obedience into their son, and he was obedient right to the point of where he went to the cross. He did not deviate. He took this thing all the way through to where it was supposed to go. And so throughout this story, there's good and there's bad. There's risks and there's blessings. There's lives protected and there's lives taken. And this was the first Christmas. Jesus came as a man, born into the world as we all are. Our Savior came and experienced all that we do. He was born into risk. He was born into vulnerability. Jesus' life was in danger when He came into this world. And He was born into conditions that were not the best. His parents faced trials and problems, but God blessed and God protected and God affirmed and God encouraged and provided and God guided. You know, you never hear about what Joseph did with all that wealth that the wise men gave him, the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. You know, I wonder if this is how Mary and Joseph financed their travels from Bethlehem to Egypt and then from Egypt to Nazareth. You know, did this pay for all that? Or Joseph getting established in Nazareth? You know, did it pay for all that? Again, you know, God taking care of them. You know, we don't know because it isn't mentioned, but I wonder about that. You know, in all my years, Christmas has been a difficult time for a lot of people. It's been a difficult time for people in the midst of a time of great blessing and joy and peace and wonder, as was the case of the first Christmas. Amidst our trials today, like the first Christmas, God is still active. God is still moving. God is still speaking. God is still guiding. I mean, Christmas Day we had a bombing in Tennessee. The news was just full of everything was about the virus. You know, and it just, I could just feel this, just this oppressive thing over the day. But you know what? God is still active. God is still moving. God is still speaking. And God is still guiding. In spite of what's going on in the world and in spite of what the media does. And everything with Jesus went as was prophesied. But things did not go as man had interpreted the prophecies. And God worked out events when there was a question when how these things seemed to at first not to appear to match the prophecy. Again, it's like, you know, if Joseph is from Nazareth, how's the child going to be born in Bethlehem? You know, these kinds of things. But God worked all that out. You know, they had interpreted the Messiah to be someone to liberate them from Rome. And so there were these things that were interpreted, but that's not how they really went. But God worked everything out. And it's the same thing in our lives. There are these things we hear from God, these things that are promised, these things that we read and we hear. And we come up with our interpretation. And then God comes and does something, and it's exactly what He said. But it's not always the way that man interprets it. Again, God says in Isaiah 55, "My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts." But God is faithful, and God will do everything that He said. Now, I was looking over again the prophetic words that I've heard shared about 2020. It was said to be a year of faith. And if there's anything that we needed this year, it was faith. Mary and Joseph needed faith. And faith is grown by being faithful in situations where faith is needed. And we definitely needed that this year. And this was a word from a year ago. This was the prophetic word that we got here. We had a gathering here on December 31st. And that was part of the word that was given back then. Before we were hearing about COVID. It was said that this year would be a year of establishing. Of laying down and putting in over what has been cleared. And 2018 and 2019 was a clearing out what needed to be removed so that things could be established there. And that clearing out is still going on. It's been going on all throughout this year. We've seen that. And this clearing could be equated really to a forest fire. And we had fires this year too. But what fires do is they clear the ground for establishing. And the things that have been cleared out are for establishing things in 2020 and 2021. To clear the ground for the sunlight to reach areas. Because the growth in a forest can be so thick and so dense that sunlight can't get to everywhere where it needs to go. And so therefore, a fire will clear everything out to hit areas where the light couldn't get in, and this will enable new growth. And we can see this because, you know, in a way, things are being exposed and revealed this year on a number of different things without going into too many details. You know, things are being seen, things are being revealed, the light is being shown on things. And so really, another way of referring to this is, it's a time of exposing. Things being cleared away, so that the light could be shown on. It's been a time of exposing. There's a lot of things that have come out this year, and a lot of different things. And so what happens is, this clearing away of things is also encouraging, because it fuels new growth. And it eliminates disease. And disease is something that hinders. And the disease is something that takes life and in a fire, that all that is removed. In a clearing away, all of that is removed. And so the death of the old provides life for the living. And do we not find that in our own lives, in our life with Christ? You know, we find new life in Christ from the death of our old way. But one of the challenges is this, is after ground has been cleared, you know, it's hard to look at something that's been cleared away and say, well, what can possibly be done with that? And that's why it also needs to be a year of faith, so that we can look at everything that's been cleared away and just have faith in God with what is before us. And after what so many have been through, one of the things that people are asking is, do I have what is needed to give God His best, to go forward with God in what's in front of me when it looks to be cleared away, when it looks barren? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So the picture here is of a runner shedding off excess baggage, shedding off weight so that he's not weighed down, so he can run and he can win. But it's also running with endurance, because this race that is referred to here is a marathon. And we are all in a marathon. And we're running our own races as we're running one big one together. And there are things that we're all facing together, but there's also our own personal situations and our battles and our struggles with these common challenges that we all face. And watching and cheering each of us on are those mentioned in chapter 11 who have already run their race and now are encouraging us, and they're cheering us on as we run our race of this life. We're being cheered on by people like Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Noah and Moses and Rahab and Gideon and Samson and David and Samuel, just to name a few. They're all on the stands watching us run the race of life, cheering us on as people who already ran their race. And God says to lay aside all encumbrances in this. Not some of them, but all of them. You know, what gets in your way? What holds you back? How many things are we hanging on to that really are not good for us? How many of us in this time has it been God confronting things in us that we need to lie down? How many of us are struggling and have struggles and battles, but And they've been there because of what we've been trying to hang on to that God's been trying to get us to let go of. And we continue to stubbornly hang on. And this time has been about softening us up so that we will let go. But the thing about it is God can't make you do it. He'll encourage you. He'll try to guide you to it, to point you to it. But you have to choose to do it. And so He'll bring you to a point of decision, but the choice will always be yours whether you're going to let go of it or not. He mentions the sin that so easily entangles us. You know, sin is not just rebellion. Here it is that which ties us up. It's that which entangles us. It ties us up so that we can't move. Or it greatly restricts us. It says sin here because it's not God's will for us to be hindered or to be restricted. The things that we get tangled up in, you know, in that moment, you know, when we get tangled up in stuff, you know, our focus becomes more on what we are wrestling with. And in that moment, because we're so consumed in what we're wrestling with, that we don't realize that we have taken our eyes off of where our focus needs to be. Another definition of sin is missing the mark. It's not hitting the target that we're shooting for. And if we are hindered and we're encumbered and we're restricted from being able to function as we need to be, then we're going to have a hard time hitting our targets. And so the question is what refreshes us? What encourages us? What gives us hope? Well, verse 2 of Hebrews 12. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's keeping our eyes on Jesus, our Savior. He, you know, not only did he run this race too, he started it and he finished it. In fact, he's our example of how to run it. He endured and he suffered for the joy of our finishing the race. Because of what he did. And this is where our hope lies, as Hebrews 12:2 talks about. And we need to hang on. We need to not give up for what lies ahead. Hebrews 12:3 says, "For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Consider Jesus, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, as many people talked about 2020 when we entered into it, you know, one of the things that people talked about was 2020 vision with the year 2020. And the thing about it is, you know, 2020 is not perfect vision. 2020 is normal vision. 2015 is where you can see at 20 feet away what normal people see at 15 feet away. But 2010 vision is the best recorded vision, because it's seeing 20 feet away what normal people see at 10 feet away. Are we going to settle for normal? Are we going to settle for our normal? Are you going to settle for your normal? Are we going to settle for the usual in the remaining days of this year and in 2021? Or are we going to go for the best? Are we going to go for the 2010? Are we going to win the race that is before us? Or are we just trying to survive? Are we just saying, my goal is if I can just make it over the line? Or are we going to say, you know what, I'm going to run this thing and do it better than everybody else? One of the things that I have heard over the last 9 months from so many is that people just say, I want to get back to normal. The old normal is gone. Part of the reason this is my thinking, okay, so if you don't like this, blame me, all right. But one of my thinking is the reason that this has gone on so long. I mean, we originally thought that all this stuff was only gonna go 3 weeks. We're now we're over 9 months into this. And I think one of the three reasons why it's gone on so long is to separate us from the old normal, because the longer that we go away from the old normal, the harder it's going to be to go back to it. Because it's very much like us to just want to go back to the way things were. With Jesus coming 2,000 years ago, the old normal was gone. The old system of religion back then would be changed. The separation between man and God would be removed. And we all would have direct access to God. You know, like Joseph, we can all hear God. We can all experience God. We can have Him guide us in every step of our lives. And with Jesus coming, life for Mary and Joseph would never be the same. Now, I don't know what's coming in 2021. I have some ideas of what God might be doing, but time will see if I'm right or not. But like Mary and Joseph right now, we're all going step by step with God because we don't know. And because we don't know, a lot of people are scared. But as we saw with Jesus' story, it's okay because God knows. God has a plan. And God takes care of His people. We just have to trust and obey and follow, because He is faithful to take care of things. No matter how big or small, God is still God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You that in spite of everything, that You are still God. And no matter what happens in our world, that doesn't change. And we can rest on that. And we can have security in that. That we are your people. And you will take care of us. Lord, it doesn't mean that we won't face difficulties, but it does mean that we won't face them alone. And if we listen to you and if we follow you, we'll get through them okay. And everything you do has a higher purpose. Your plans are good. We may not always understand them all at first, but they all work out, and they all work out fantastically. And we just thank you that you do have everything in the palm of your hand. In spite of the things we see, in spite of the things we hear, you are still God and you've got it all. You're in control. Help us, God, as we finish out this year and as we step out into the next one, that we would step out with you in confidence and boldness that you've got this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you did. Thank you, Jesus, for coming 2,000 years ago and living like one of us, going through everything we went through and showing us how to live. Coming knowing you were coming to die so that we could have eternal life with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we just give you glory and honor. And we just pray all these things in your name. Amen. So let me read you the questions here on our COG list, our COG list. The first question is, what is before you that troubles and concerns you that needs to be given over to God? The next question is, do you see all of the ways that God has provided for you and taken care of you this year? And list those things. List those things. And what are the different ways that God has spoken to you? Next is, what has God been clearing away and exposing in you this year? And what is God building in you now from what was or being cleared away? And lastly, what have you been holding on to that needs to be let go of? So those are the questions for you to reflect on. Let me just remind you of two things here. First of all, just remind you again that if you want to get your tax credit for your giving, if you're planning on giving anything more this week as we clear out 2020, that the deadline to get anything into us, if you're going to physically bring it here, is the 28th. Yeah. If you mail it, it needs to be postmarked no later than December 31st. And of course, you can also go on the website and give through the website, but you need to do that, you know, by December 31st. And so that's if you want to get, you know, all the tax credit that you can get. So before we close, I want to end our time with taking the Lord's Supper. And so I'll give you a minute here to get your elements ready. And we'll go into this in just a minute. So, okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 27. Let me start it out this way. It says, "Whoever eats the bread of and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a person must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For the one who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not properly recognize the body. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number are asleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. And so the reason I start off usually with this part of the passages that are used for the Lord's Supper is because this talks about self-examining first. This is the first thing that we do before we take the elements. Now, self-examining is very, very important. Self-examining is mentioned 27 times in Scripture. And it says judge here. Judge here is to examine and to evaluate. It's to examine ourselves, to evaluate ourselves. And upon that examination and upon that, make a change or commit to making a change. Because some things we can change instantly, but some things maybe they take a little bit more time or we can't get to them right away. And so we either say, I'm going to change this right now, or I'm going to commit to making this change as soon as I can. So we self-examine first. And then we take the elements, because the elements represent the blood and the bread. They represent what Jesus did on the cross for us, His dying for our sin. And it's important to self-examine first so that we are not still hanging on to the things that we need to let go of while we are honoring Jesus in what He did for us in dying for the things that we need to be forgiven of. And so we need to have that time to self-examine first. And so I just want to give you a minute to just sit with God and just reflect for a minute. And so, Lord, I just pray that You would help us in our self-examining. Again, You're not doing it for the purpose of condemnation, but for the purpose of helping us to see. Just like we talked earlier about things being cleared away and the light coming onto the ground of an area that's been cleared away so that things can be seen. Things can come into light so that new growth can come. I pray, Lord, that You would just shine Your light on us. And I pray that You would show us the things about ourselves that we need to see, the changes that we need to make, or the things that we need to commit to changing as soon as we can. Again, this doesn't change how You see us. It doesn't change Your love for us. Because You know more about us than we know ourselves. But show us the things that we need to see, so that we can come to Your table in the right spirit and the right attitude. And we just ask this in Your name, Lord Jesus. So verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11 says, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when He was betrayed took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and He said, 'This is My body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" I don't know if you can see this or not, but the crackers that we use here when we do Lord's Supper, they have stripes and holes in them. They have stripes and holes in them, and I like using these because it's a picture of what happened to Jesus' body. He was beaten, He was whipped, and He was pierced on our behalf. Scripture says, "By His stripes we are healed." And so, we take this remembering what He did for us. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank You for Your body that You gave on our behalf. That because of what was inflicted on You, we are healed. We are healed physically, and we're healed in our relationship with You. We just give You praise and glory and honor. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The body of Christ given on our behalf. It goes on to say in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "In the same way, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" And so the juice here represents the blood of Jesus that was shed on our behalf. that cleanses us of our sins. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your shed blood. Lord, we just thank you that you died off. We thank you for what you went through on our behalf. You went through it so we don't have to. Lord, you suffered and died horribly. And you did it because you love us that much. To restore the relationship between us and you. Lord, we just thank you. And we just give you glory and honor for all that you've done for us, all that you did for us, and all that you will do for us. Because you're faithful. And we just give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The blood of Christ shed on our behalf. So with that, let me just say God bless you. Next time I see you, it'll be 2021. So God bless you and Happy New Year. Take care.